Oh, I'm going to start out by saying I'm going to be all over the Bible this morning, and I'm going to be talking about discouragement. Discouragement is one of the most potent weapons that the enemy uses against us. It's subtle, often slipping into our hearts through the cracks of our own perceptions, how we see our circumstances. And if left unchecked, discouragement can derail our faith. It can derail our journey with God and distance us from the promises that God has for us. Now today, we're going to explore six common reasons for discouragement. We'll look at the lives of Abraham, Jonah, Elijah, Thomas, the two blind men on the road in Jerusalem, and Peter. So you could see we're going to be all, all throughout God's word, okay, talking about this. And each of these biblical figures faced discouragement in their journey, and their stories teach us valuable lessons. We'll also turn our attention to the story of the spies in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 to see how discouragement can have a devastating impact on an entire community of faith. Finally, we'll draw inspiration from a historical figure whose life exemplifies perseverance through discouragement. John Wesley. So, what are the reasons for discouragement? We're going to talk about Abraham here. And Abraham had this thing of thinking, it's taking too long. How many of you have ever said that? It's taking too long, right? Abraham, the father of our faith, was promised descendants as numerous as the stars. But as the years went by and he and Sarah remained childless, Abraham grew discouraged. He questioned God's timing and wondered if the promise would ever be fulfilled. Genesis 15. 1 through 6 shows us that God reassured Abraham, saying, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. So shall your offspring be." Yet even with this promise, the waiting was difficult. Now, imagine, if you would, a child who has been promised a trip to their favorite amusement park, whether it be Disneyland or Six Flags, right? Days turn into weeks, and weeks into months, and yet the trip does not happen. The child might start to doubt the promise, wondering if the trip will ever happen. Similarly, Abraham had to learn patience and trust in God's timing, even when the fulfillment of the promise seemed delayed. Waiting on God's timing can be one of the most challenging aspects of our faith. Amen? We want things to happen now, right? We're used to that, right? You get in line at McDonald's and you drive through the drive-thru. When we get to the window, we expect our order to be right there. Amen? We want it now. We don't want to be waiting. But God's plans often take longer than we expect. Delay is not denial. God's promises are sure. And even when it seems like they're taking too long, we must hold on to faith, knowing that God's timing is perfect. Yeah, I can't think of how many times where God's timing, if it was my timing, there may have been a bad accident and I may have been involved in. Just that couple seconds, you know, that God had me wait, I could have been in a bad accident. Because then the next thing I know, I take off, and what's before me, there's an accident, right? God's timing's perfect, and there's a reason why his timing is just right. Sometimes it's to protect us for our own good. Amen? I mean, sometimes that happens. You know, another example or another discouragement, and we hear this all the time, probably more from children, but I can guarantee you, if you listen carefully, you would hear it from an adult too. It's not fair. They may not say it like that, but they do say that. It's not fair. Jonah, who's a good example of this, was sent by God to preach to the people of Nineveh, a city known for its wickedness. Jonah didn't want to go because he knew God would show them mercy if they repented. And in his mind, they didn't deserve it. When God did indeed show mercy, Jonah was furious and discouraged, feeling that life wasn't fair. In Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we see Jonah's anger. It says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, think for a moment about a situation where you work hard on a project at your job, or maybe it's even at home, only for someone else to receive the credit or the attaboy or a promotion that you felt that you deserved. The unfairness of the situation can lead to frustration and discouragement. See, Jonah felt something similar to this. He thought that the Ninevites didn't deserve God's mercy. There are many Christians out there. That they come to church. We go outside these walls and walk into our communities. They see the homeless. They see those that are strung out on drugs. They see those that are committing crimes. Do they not deserve God's mercy? Did the thieves on the cross that were hung up on the cross with Jesus, did they not deserve God's mercy? We see this in our own world today. See, we have to remember this. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. And his sense of justice and mercy often goes beyond our understanding. How many times have we seen that it didn't go our way? It's not fair, right? remember, remember, God's ways are higher than our ways. When life feels unfair, it's easy to become discouraged. We see others receiving blessings that we think they don't deserve. Or we face hardships we feel we shouldn't have to endure. But God's ways are higher than our ways. We must trust in His justice and mercy, even when it doesn't align with our expectations. Third example, Elijah. I'm all alone. I'm all alone. Elijah had just experienced a great victory on Mount Carmel, where God showed His power by consuming the sacrifice with fire from heaven. But afterward, Elijah fled for his life from Queen Jezebel, who threatened to kill him. Alone in the wilderness, Elijah was overcome with fear and despair, feeling as though he was the only one left who served God. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. We hear Elijah's cry, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Think about this for a moment. Imagine a soldier on the battlefield who feels surrounded by the enemy, cut off from his unit, isolated from any support. The sense of being alone in such a dire situation can be overwhelming. Elijah felt a similar isolation, believing he was the last of God's prophets. But God never abandons His people. Isn't that what God's word says? "I will never leave you or forsake you." Amen? Feeling alone can be overwhelming, and it's easy to fall into discouragement when we believe we're the only ones facing a particular struggle. How many times have we felt that? Really? How many times have we felt that we're the only ones facing this horrible thing or struggle? I'm guilty of that many times. You know, and that's something that we need to confess. We're not the only ones that face the same thing. It might feel like we are. There might be differing circumstances. It might, you know, seem like it's harder than maybe what another person went through. But, you know, how are we going to handle this? How are we going to handle this? See, God never abandons His people. We have to remember that. Never abandons His people. He is always with us, even in our loneliest moments, and He often has others walking a similar path who can encourage us. I am so thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ who lead other churches. You know, it's easy to feel discouraged, and then become blind to this may be happening to others, or this particular whatever may be happening. Or maybe they've went through it already and they have some biblical advice, some godly advice that God showed them. Wow. Here's the fourth one. Good old Doubting Thomas, right? Thomas, it's not possible, right? After Jesus' resurrection, the disciples told Thomas that they had seen the Lord, but Thomas doubted their testimony. He famously said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." That comes out of John chapter 20, verse 25. Thomas was discouraged because what the other disciples described seemed impossible. He couldn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead without seeing the proof for himself. Think about a person here who has faced numerous setbacks in life. Perhaps a failed business venture, a broken relationship, or a series of personal losses. They might say, "I'll never get back on my feet again. It's just not possible." That's how I felt going through my divorce. I'll never get back on my feet again. It's just not possible. This is where Thomas was. He was discouraged and doubting the possibility of what seemed like a miraculous restoration or resurrection. I'm sorry, miraculous resurrection. We all face situations that seem impossible. I mean, who hasn't faced a situation that seemed impossible? I've faced several. You know, maybe it's a broken relationship that seems beyond repair. A financial situation that feels hopeless. Or a health issue that has no earthly cure. But with God, all things are possible. I remember, God just put this in my heart right now. I was down in Kenai, and I was ministering at a men's rescue mission, and they took in a lot of those that were coming out of prison and back into society. And they had, you know, they had rooms for them and things. One of the requirements was they needed to attend Bible study in church every week. And I went there and held a Bible study for them. And I had met a gentleman there who had just got out of prison. He had felonies on his record. Boy, I'll tell you, he was looking for a job, get shut down, right? And then one day, he got a job as a maintenance guy for an apartment complex down there. And he was like, "I can't believe it. Everybody else is shutting me down." And I'm like, "It's not you. It's not them. Remember, with God, all things are possible." Yeah, it's hard to get a job when you have a felony on your record. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible. That does not mean that it's impossible. God shows up and he's there and he opens the doors for those things. Not only did he do that, then he got hired on, if I remember correctly, at the muskox farm down there. Not the muskox farm, but it's the one that has the, was it the reindeer, hun? The one that had the reindeer there in Palmer. Yeah, he moved, of course, but he got a really good job there. And I was like, so the doors kept opening up for him. With God, all things are possible. See, our faith must rise above our doubts. Many of us, including myself, I'm not going to keep myself out of this because I do it all the time. We doubt. Don't we? I remember my pastor from years ago when I was first led to the Lord, and you know, him saying, Brad, stop trusting in man's inventions. You can stop smoking. Give it to God. And I did it. But I struggled. It wasn't easy. I'm not going to say that I did it right away. I did it after the fact that I realized that it was God that was doing it and not any invention or thing that man had created. So our faith must rise above our doubts, trusting that God can do what seems impossible to us. Number five, the two blind men on the road had that attitude of maybe they're right. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 31, that's where this story is found. We read about the two blind men who followed Jesus, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And despite their disability and the crowd's possible scorn, they persisted in seeking Jesus. And when Jesus asked if they could believe, if they believed he could heal them, they answered, "Yes, Lord," and their sight was restored. These men could have easily been discouraged by their circumstances, or by what others might have said about their condition. I watched a movie last night that was pretty interesting. It was called The Supremes, and I thought it was about The Supremes. You know, remember the group? Yeah, the singers. But it wasn't. At least I didn't think so, because it didn't have anything about their singing. And one of the ladies, one of the Supremes, had gotten cancer, was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she went through treatments. She was very discouraged, didn't even want to tell her husband or her friends. And one by one, everybody found out. But God had healed her. He does that. God does heal. You know, and we can get so down in the dumps and forget about who we serve. We serve a mighty God. These blind men may have thought, maybe they're right. Maybe we'll never be healed. Right? But they chose to believe in Jesus instead. Now, picture this. Picture a student who's repeatedly told by others that they will never succeed in a particular subject. You know, maybe this is hitting home for some of you. Maybe you had a father or a mother or something like that that said, you'll never amount to anything. I mean, that's pretty negative, right? The constant negativity could easily lead to discouragement and giving up, right? However, if the student holds on to hope and puts in the effort, they can succeed despite the naysayers. The two blind men, they didn't allow others' opinions to discourage them. They trusted in Jesus' power to heal. Now, when others doubt or criticize our faith, it's tempting to start believing that maybe they're right. But we must cling to Jesus, trusting that He alone has the final say over our lives. The opinions of others don't determine our destiny. God does. God does. Number six, my hope was unfounded. And we're going to look at Peter. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. After denying Jesus three times, Peter was overwhelmed with regret and sorrow. He had placed all his hope in Jesus, but now, after his failure, he felt that his hope had been misplaced. He was deeply discouraged, thinking that he had ruined his chance to be part of Jesus' mission. In Luke 22:61-62, we see Peter's despair. It says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Straight at him. Eye to eye. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. And we just had the Summer Olympics here. It was in Paris, I believe. I want you to consider this. Consider the athlete who trains for years for a chance to compete at the Olympics, only to be disqualified for a mistake in the final race. The sense of despair and discouragement from feeling that all hope and effort have been wasted is profound. Peter felt this level of discouragement after denying Jesus, but he found restoration in Jesus' grace. In his grace. We all fail. Who hasn't failed here? At one thing or another. Who hasn't failed? We've all failed. We've all failed and fall short of the glory of God. Going right back to Scripture again. We all fall short at times. And when we do, it's easy to think that our hope in Christ was unfounded. But the truth is, our hope in Jesus is never misplaced. Jesus restored Peter, and he can restore us too, no matter how badly we think that we've failed. Our hope in Christ is secure because it's based on his faithfulness, not ours. Now, here's some lessons from Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. The story of the Israelites at the edge of the Promised Land is a powerful illustration of how discouragement can have devastating effects, not just on an individual, but on an entire community of faith. After being freed from slavery in Egypt, the Israelites were led by God to the border of the Promised Land. They sent 12 spies to explore the land. And when the spies returned, all 12 agreed that the land was good. However, 10 of the spies focused on the challenges. And the fortified cities and the giants in the land. Their discouraging report caused the whole community to lose heart. I think we talked about a little bit about that and how a group of people can really rile up a bad decision this morning, right? Numbers 13, chapter 13, 31 through 33 says, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them.'" I wonder if that's what David thought when he faced Goliath. I don't think so. I'm sure Goliath or David looked like a grasshopper to Goliath, wouldn't you say? Goliath was huge. But because of their discouragement and lack of faith, the Israelites wanted to return to Egypt rather than trust God to lead them into the Promised Land. This lack of faith led to an entire generation missing out on the promise. Wow. An entire generation missed out on the promise. How often do we let the giants in our lives, the obstacles and the challenges that we face, cause us to lose faith in God's promises? How often? Think about that. We must remember that our God is greater than any giant we face. The Israelites' failure to trust God's promises led to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Let us not make that same mistake. Instead, let us trust in God's ability to overcome the giants in our own lives. I want to give you some an example of John Wesley, how he overcame discouragement. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, faced numerous challenges and discouragements throughout his ministry. He was often met with opposition, even from within the church. Imagine that. There were times when he was ridiculed. His followers were persecuted, and he faced physical and emotional exhaustion. Yet Wesley persisted. He once wrote in his journal after a particularly difficult day of preaching, "I offered Christ to them all, but they did not receive me, not one." Still, he continued preaching the next day and the next, never allowing discouragement to derail his mission. His unwavering faith and dedication to God's calling are a powerful example of how to overcome discouragement. Wesley's life teaches us that perseverance in the face of discouragement is key to fulfilling God's mission, no matter how many times we are knocked down. We must rise again. Trusting that God's grace is sufficient and that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Discouragement is a powerful tool that the enemy uses to pull us away from God's promises. But today we have seen that we are not alone in facing discouragement. Abraham, Jonah, Elijah, Thomas, the two blind men, Peter, the Israelites, and even John Wesley faced discouragement. Yet in each case, God provided a way through it. Let us learn from these examples and apply these lessons to our lives. Remember, God's promises are true, even when they seem delayed. Life may seem unfair, but God's justice and mercy prevail. We may feel alone, but God is always with us. Things may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Others may doubt us, but God's opinion is the only one that matters. And even when we fail, our hope in Jesus is never unfounded. So let us rise above discouragement, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us trust in his promises, follow his leading, and encourage one another along the way. In doing so, we will overcome discouragement and continue to advance his kingdom here on earth. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts that have heard the stories of those who walked before us, Abraham, Jonah, Elijah, Thomas, the blind men, Peter, and John Wesley. They each face moments of deep discouragement, just as we do. Yet in their struggles, they found that your promises are always sure and your timing is always perfect. Lord, we confess that there are times when we feel overwhelmed by the weight of delay, the sting of unfairness, the pain of loneliness, the shadows of doubt, and the disappointment of unmet expectations. But today, we choose to stand firm in faith, trusting in your unfailing love and the truth that you all are always with us. We ask, Father, that you strengthen our hearts against the subtle attacks of discouragement. Help us to see beyond our circumstances and hold fast to the hope that is found in you alone. When we are tempted to give into despair, remind us of your past faithfulness and the future that you have prepared for us. Lord, just as you restored Peter, healed the blind man, and renewed Wesley's spirit, we ask that you would restore, heal, and renew us. Give us the courage to press on, to encourage one another, and to cling to your promises with unwavering faith. As we leave this place, may your spirit go with us, filling us with joy, peace, and the assurance that with you, all things are possible. We thank you for your presence, your grace, and your love that never fails. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.